All right. He's in the building. Well, he's not in the building. He's driving around Nashville somewhere, fresh off a workout. It's Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys. New episodes available to you now. Subscribe, rate, review, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Will joins us every Wednesday, courtesy of All American Pest Control. Plans as low as $39 a month. Visit yuckbugs.com. We must start with congratulations, because I hear that the future Wilma Earl Compton will be gracing the planet Earth. So very happy for you and Charo on the announcement that you guys are going to have a baby girl soon.
Thank you, Buck. I appreciate that. You know, before we go, I just want to appreciate you for bringing me on. I always have a lot of fun on this thing. It feels like I'm in the building because that's just the type of energy that I bring. I bring that BD, and it feels like I am in-house with you. So I'm excited to be on, excited to see what kind of questions and polls you might have for me today.
No, well, you mocked the polls when last you commented on the polls. So I don't know if you can go there with that kind of disrespect, given that that's the last way that you assaulted my content.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt like it had to be done. Anytime I pull out my Twitter app to see what's going on, obviously I follow and engage with you a lot, so you're always at the top of my feed, and it's just always some damn poll. Oh, sorry, Lucas.
You can say damn, it's fine. Listen, here's what I don't want to do with you. I don't want to tell you that you can use certain words and then you forget which words you can use.
I appreciate the effort there. I appreciate that.
He just immediately launches into apologies. Oh, so sorry. Well, by the way, better than your boy, Rashawn. Rashawn dropped the S-bomb 8 times on morning radio yesterday.
No way. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, well, our bosses didn't, so let's try to avoid that today with Will Compton. So let's start with the episode first and foremost, because this is going to lead us into the larger portion of our conversation today. You had a pretty interesting guest on, a 3-time champion world collegiate wrestler in his weight class, Spencer Lee, who I had not heard of until I listened to the episode and did a little research on him. He's got an incredible story. His latest accomplishment came on 2 torn ACLs, and I guess, how did you find out about him, and how long did it take you to get over the fact that he wrestles for the University of Iowa, which of course you hate?
Yeah. So when the NCAAs happened this past year, I saw his interview going viral. I was watching some of the matches in the finals with my brother growing up and being a wrestler. It's always been kind of fun watching those matches. And then I saw his interview going viral, and it was an Iowa guy. So obviously I'm always bantering back and forth with George Kittle. So I wanted to give credit where credit's due. The dude won a national title on 2 torn ACLs, his most recent ACL. One, it had already happened his sophomore year, and he just never got it fixed. The other one, the latest one, he tore it 8 days before winning that NCAA title match. We get into his protocols and everything he did leading up to wrestling in the NCAA tournament. Now, mind you, he had to win matches to make it to the finals and continue to win the NCAAs on a recently torn ACL. And I was just baffled at the savagery by Spencer Lee. So I wanted to get him on the bus because, one, we hadn't had a collegiate athlete on. And two, like, I'm fascinated with wrestling. I grew up doing it a little bit. I quit. My mental's not where my brother's was. My brother was very successful at wrestling, and I've just always liked it. I felt like the pod needed a little change up with a wrestler on there.
No, it was a unique conversation. I'm glad that you chose to go that route. Before we talk about Spencer and like kind of that mindset, because I watched the interview, the post match rather, interview that went viral, and the man is clearly insane at what he does, and I can't imagine approaching it that way. But what is it about? At what point did you know that wrestling was not the future pursuit for you? Because I had buddies in high school who wrestled. They were constantly starving themselves. They had cauliflower ear. They had ringworm at various points. It looks like a disgusting, miserable pursuit. What was the moment that it crystallized for you that wrestling was not the future of Will Compton?
I just hated going to practice. Like, I've always enjoyed, like, whatever sport I'm in, I'm always ready to go get with the boys, like, have fun, get better, stuff like that. But I just hated going to practice. I knew it wasn't for me when I was faking being sick to try and not go to practice the next day. Yeah. Like putting applesauce in my mouth and acting like I'm throwing it up so I can look like I'm trying to get out of going to practice. And I remember quitting, and it was awful because, you know, our parents just didn't, like, it was miserable being like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I want to go forward with quitting. And just feeling like a disappointment in the household, because Cody was always so good at it. He always got first place. I would always get second at state. Like, yeah, that's not bad, but I never won state. And Cody was always just destroying kids. And like, you know, it was one of those things where I just wanted to play the sports where I was really good at, and football and baseball were those two sports. So I just kind of focused on playing those sports, especially when I got to high school. And then my parents made me do it again my junior year because I didn't go out for baseball like I said I would. You can listen to all that in the episode, but just to save time, I know we only get 20 minutes. But that's how I knew I didn't wrestling wasn't the gig for the boy.
It's such an interesting family dynamic, because I know that's the case for a lot of people. You don't want to tell your parents you want to quit sports because of there is inherent disappointment. Whereas my household, my mom did not understand why I wanted to play football. She's like, why would you waste time with that? You need to be studying. This is so stupid that you just want to go ram your head into other people for 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So let's talk about Spencer Lee and the mindset that it takes to be able to have that kind of performance. Because you all, as professional athletes, you play through things that are unthinkable. I mean, I stub my toe out of bed in the morning. I'm not coming into work. I'm going to do the radio show on Zoom from my living room. I'm not physically doing anything the rest of the day. Whereas this man is winning championships in collegiate wrestling on two torn ACLs. And I did think you missed an opportunity to talk about, like, what made his mental, like, what created that mindset. And as you noted on your own Twitter feed, it's the only reason I bring it up. I did think that was, listen, it's okay. We watch the tape and improve, as Mike Vrabel would say.
Exactly.
But for you to kind of work through that, you're somebody who consistently I see on Instagram, you're reading motivational material. You're constantly looking for ways to focus on the mindset element of that. And I wonder is there a way that you can kind of explain what goes into that as a professional athlete? Because we're going to talk about your co-host from that standpoint as well here in just a second. But I think that's something that's so hard for anybody listening driving around on their lunch break right now to kind of comprehend how big a part that plays in what it is that you guys do.
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like I missed that opportunity because at times when we dive deep into people's stories, we're talking about, like, we talk about mental stuff and you only have so many stories and experience to pull from your own. And we talk about it enough to where sometimes my brain's just like, you know, should I have fun on this episode or should I dive deep, like do all that kind of stuff? So great accountability, number one. I'm glad you, you know, exposed me on your radio show.
Well, you can tweet about it like Taylor did.
It'll only make me better. It'll only make me better. You'll make me better from here.
Yeah.
But no, to go off that, like it was super fascinating hearing about his ACL and him talking about going through it and the protocols he was doing to make sure his knee was fine. Because just on my own experience, I've never like played on torn ACLs. I don't know. That'd be interesting to know if somebody has. But for me, like I tore my PCL and I was back and I was doing the most to get back on the field. I tore my PCL as a grade two, it was almost a full rupture. And you're just, you know, I was doing whatever possible. Hindsight, I shouldn't have gotten back on the field. I got back on the field in 8 days and finished out the last three games of the year. We had a Monday night football game against Carolina, and the backer who filled in for me didn't play that well, missed a lot of adjustments and stuff that would have won us the game. And so I felt like my own self-pressure being like, you know, getting back, being honorable about getting back on the field and getting back with the boys. And so I was doing absolutely everything I could to get back on the field. I remember taking a stem cell injection straight into my knee, and it was the most painful thing in my life because we didn't have like lidocaine to help it. This wasn't with the Washington football team. This wasn't with their trainers. This is offsite, ground zero at Will Compton's house. So I don't want to say this was the Washington.
Some like backroom medical procedures. You're in a warehouse somewhere in Miami.
Look, you'd be surprised though, like guys getting medical attention and doing stuff off away from the facility to make sure that they're getting taken care of and to get back on the field. But I was back practicing. I remember it was a Friday practice. Bruce Allen and Jay Gruden and the staff and everybody's out there because I'm trying to get cleared to play in Chicago. And it was a Friday practice and I had a brace on and I'm like moving around and like, all right, do you feel good? And I'm like, yeah, I'm like as good as I can feel having a torn PCL and having a brace on. I was hobbling around and it was honestly to get out there and make sure guys are lined up, having adjustments. I think I had one tackle, like I'm taking on pullers and I'm cutting out their knees instead of taking them on physically because I just want to slice out their legs instead of having the battle with my knee. But I finished out the year and it wasn't that good. And I should have never done it. But like the mental that just goes into doing something like that is just like you want it so badly that you will do whatever it takes. And you understand that like, how can I be in your own mind, you're brainwashed to think like, how can I be superhuman to do what people don't usually do? Because you look at guys who are injured or guys that don't, who kind of like, you think like, yo, why aren't they playing on this? They should be out there playing. And you just have this taste in your mouth that I'm not going to be that guy. Like, I'm going to do whatever I can to be that tough, to be that gritty, like to be that guy that, because the best ability is availability. So in my head, I always need to be available. And another time having like an AC joint, and you guys, like, you'll shoot lidocaine in your shoulder before you go out on the field, guys who have AC sprains or AC joint problems. You'll be stacking pads on your shoulder pads. It'll wear off once you take the first hit, but you're doing whatever you can to numb that thing before you go out there. Some guys play on it, some guys don't. But that's kind of like, I'm assuming Spence being like just a savage that he is, wrestling on two ACLs, he's just wanting to do something that in his mind, he's like, if I can beat these dudes on two torn ACLs, and do, he was living in the training room for 9 hours a day, three-hour sessions. You'll have to listen to it. But like the mental that goes into it is just like that whole wolf mentality that I just kind of gravitate towards, that I just kind of make up in my head, because you need to brainwash yourself in a way to get on the field.
Well, and Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking about the latest episode available now. Subscribe, rate, and review with three-time collegiate wrestling champion in his weight class, Spencer Lee, walking through the mindset of an athlete, because this is relevant to what's happening with the local professional football team and your co-host, Taylor. Now, we talked about this. I'm not going to ask you a question and ask you to speak for Taylor. Taylor can speak for himself. We all know that very well. He has plenty of platforms to get out there, as he has done in the past. But, you know, I looked at Taylor in week one, and I think things quickly spiraled for him in a way that he had prepared himself for and amped himself up for, and then physically you're not able to compensate the way that you're not always able to compensate. Sometimes you can mentally will your way through these things, but when in on that particular level, when the scrutiny is so much on you and you're going against somebody like a Chandler Jones who's in a contract year and is wanting to come out and make a statement in those moments, that what people don't understand is that that's prevalent across sports. And an ACL in particular, like the only athlete that I can think of in football recently that's played on an ACL, and it's not been that recent, but Phillip Rivers a couple of years ago played in a playoff game on a torn ACL. Now, quarterback is different than left tackle or linebacker or any of these other positions. But for people who are criticizing him, and there are great many, and I know you see a lot of this because you're on social media the way that we all are, for people that don't understand that about Taylor, what would you say to them to kind of help them understand what it is exactly that they're watching?
Yeah, again, like, you know, I don't want to speak for Taylor. I'm never going to, because I can only pull from my own experience in playing the game and being down bad in certain times. I know this past time I was alluding to the Raiders game, playing when I was on the Raiders and we were playing the Titans, when I got dummied by Saffold, Kari Blasingame caught the ball on me. You know, we were all kind of having fun with it. I was living in it a little bit, because it's like, yeah, you can't let people know that you're vulnerable to these types of things. And the boys also on the Titans gave me a game ball for being like a player of the game for them for messing up. So you can only imagine, if you don't have fortitude, like if you don't have a wall in your brain to be able to compartmentalize those things, it's very tough to get out of. And I've been like in situations that I've talked about to where I missed two tackles in a row on Thanksgiving. It was the most televised game and national football game of the year. I missed two tackles in a row on Ezekiel Elliott, and people were already kind of chirping at me on the internet. And that's where you got to kind of, that's where I knew in my mind, when I missed those two tackles, they score, and I come to the sideline, I'm sitting on the bench thinking about what people are saying about me. That's when I personally knew social media had gotten into my psyche. And I was like, I have to find a way out of this. And I'm not saying Taylor's going through that. Again, I am speaking for myself. And those people who are scrutinizing and everything else, like even Taylor, like if I could sit and talk with him, like talking to myself, it's hard to get out of as an athlete because we're so competitive and we want to be the best. But the reality is, it hasn't even been a full year on a torn ACL. I know guys bounce back from ACLs, but it usually takes time. Like some guys get back faster than others. Some guys don't feel good for it takes a year to get back, and then they need another a year of competing to even feel good again, because they're finding a different way to play and compensating. I know Taylor's spoken about that stuff, but at the same time, Taylor include the athlete. I don't even want to say Taylor. I want to say athletes included, athletes in general that go through this, because I've been in this spot, and people scrutinizing all these people, including the athlete themselves, need to give themselves some compassion. And it's hard to when you're in it, bro, because you're playing on a national level, on a national stage, in front of thousands, millions, whatever, of people that have a microscope on you. And it is hard to perform at that elite level and not think about it. But you have to give yourself some compassion, because it's just, it is what it is. And the quicker you can accept that, yo, I'm not who I am. I'm not who I usually am right now. How am I going to find ways to get better from that, versus dwelling on it and living in these excuses and thinking about what people saying about you? Because if you do that, you kill yourself. Doubt takes over. You start doubting your abilities, and that wins. That wins. It's the saying, I like when that game happened for me against the Titans, and I had all that stuff happen with Roger throwing me to the ground and all this stuff. I took photos with the guys after the game. The Raiders staff and the Raiders players were busting my balls about it. And I was legit feeling like, damn, like, how do I look right now to everybody? I'm laying up at night. And the next day I go into our meeting, my position coach asked me, Will, do you think you played enough for Preston Brown to get cut right now? Because the other linebacker, I split time with him that game, and whoever played worse was going to get cut. I'm lucky I didn't get cut. But he's like, Will, do you think you play well enough to get cut, just to add on and pile on all this other stuff? There you go, Lucas. I didn't say the S word. And I'm laying in bed, staying up, and I'm sitting there in that extended stay in Alameda, California, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I say all this self, same, tell this to myself all the time. Nobody cares. Work harder, and also nobody's coming to save you. Because Buck, you can be a friend and you can help me out, and I can have all my best friends, coaches, and everybody saying, "Yo, I got your back. This is gonna be fine." Like, at this point, who gives a who cares? Who gives the S word? What everyone else is.
It was saying. Close.
You gotta bring all this in, no matter what people are saying to you. No one is laying on your pillow carrying whatever amount of stress you have going on. Nobody is throwing you a life raft that is going to save you. You're going to have to go out and play. Will, you're going to have to pull your stuff together and go out and play. Fortunately, like, you know, I finish out the year strong. I do well. I'm having fun. It's the whole, I had a good self-reflection post on the whole being a wolf thing again, because I'm like, yo, there's times where that stuff is just hard, man. But it's like, you got to pull yourself up out of it. It is a hard thing to do. And I don't want to get away from the fact that you got to give grace and compassion to your own self about the journey you've had up to getting to this point, because it's not going to happen overnight.
My God, I feel this is the first time that Will Compton has spoken to my soul. I want to run through a wall. I feel motivated by this.
It's like, I had a lot of fun on this episode of the pod, and I was kind of sitting and reflecting a little more, because I talked to one of my old coaches about what he thought of the episode, because he enjoyed it and stuff. He's like, you know, I talked about missing the getting in deep with why Spencer is the way he is. And I was more so having a little fun with the episode, but I do wish I would have took. I need to get back to a couple serious times, because there is some perspective that people just aren't getting, and that everybody included just like needs to have, because it's all going to be okay. The Titans in the second half, I'm sure they're saying, hey, we put together two quarters of football. We're down six quarters right now. But those two quarters we have, that's the identity of the Titans. Everybody's going to have that, Taylor included. Like, it's just, you know, everybody – I didn't want to cut you off. I know I'm going off on another tangent. I need to stop and let you talk and compliment.
No. And let you – yes. Listen, this is when this has been one of your better performances, not just because you, I think, four or five times stopped yourself from cursing – on air, which Lucas is sweating back there. I can see it running off of his forehead. But no, it's good perspective, because and we'll wrap it up, because we got to get out of here in like 2 minutes. But I've kind of compared it to, you were on the team in 2018, right? Jack Conklin comes back from a torn ACL. Jack Conklin struggles in the first part of the year, and then when Dennis comes in, everybody's praising Dennis Kelly because he looks better than Jack Conklin coming off a torn ACL.
Yes.
It completely lacks the context of how well Jack played in 19 to help that offensive line propel Derek to the season and the run that they ended up having.
Hey, and just real quickly, and you know, when Jack bounced back in 19 and played good ball, you know what he said when I asked him, hey, why do you think, like, you know, what perspective did you have and how'd you bounce back? You know what Jack said? He said, I realized football wasn't absolutely everything. Meaning not that it doesn't mean a lot because it's our job and we're high paid. It's the pressure, the internal pressure you put on yourself in those moments of what everybody else is saying, watching yourself play bad on film, listening to coaches coach you up and everything else going on around you. Just knowing, give yourself some grace and be like, yo, this isn't life or death. Stop putting pressure on myself. Let my body do what it knows how to do.
Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys. Check out the episode with Spencer Lee. It's great. It's debuting tonight on YouTube at 6 p.m. The audio version available for your commute to or from work, depending on what time it is that you go to or from work. Right now, subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Buck.
All right. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. We'll do the polls, and then we'll tell you who's on the show tomorrow because it's exciting. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.